Ladies and gentlemen, could I indulge you? Thank you, Paul. Thank you. Thank you very much. If we could sit down, we need to start. It's we like to be punctual at ICANN meetings. Thank you very much. We're not the GAC. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you. Just for avoidance of doubt, this is a session on internet governance. It's a session that we try and run on a regular basis at ICANN meetings. I'm Nigel Hickson, a staff member, and we're delighted that so many people are with us this morning. We've got a highly talented panel, and our moderator this morning is Bruno Lavin. He's a board member, and we'd like to thank him for agreeing to moderate the panel, and he'll introduce it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Nigel, and good morning to everybody. The topic of this panel is internet governance, and as we all know, that can be understood in many different ways from many different angles. So I've identified three possible angles by which this panel may wish to address that, and that includes the outcome of NetMundial, what happened in Brazil there. The second is the NTIA transition, and also we may wish to touch upon the ongoing process of the IGF and the upcoming Istanbul meeting. That the idea is just to throw these three items on the table and hopefully have an interesting discussions around those. For this, we have a quite numerous panel here, so I will not give introduction to everybody, just mentioning who we have on this panel, starting from my very left, Olivier Crépin-Leblond as the chair of ALAC, but also with another responsibility.
Yes, thank you very much. Also, one of the two coordinators or facilitators of the Cross-Community Working Group on Internet Governance.
Thank you, Olivier. Next, Olivier Pablo Inojosa from APNIC. Michele Nailon, the CEO and founder of Black Knight. Then we have both members of the GSMA. We are going to hear in a minute from Anne Bouvreau, the Director General of GSMA. Anne has a constraint and will have to leave us before the end of this panel. And then we'll have a substitution where I say a little word about that later on. The next to Anne and to my immediate left, Ambassador Fonseca, who is known to many of you since NetMundial. Thank you for being with us, Mr. Ambassador. On my right, Fiona Alexander, your Administrative Director for International Affairs at NTIA, working directly with Larry Strickling. Next to Fiona, we have Konstantin. Konstantin, can you help me with your full name?
Konstantinos Koumaitis.
Okay, very good. And as we know, Greece made it to the second round, so we should all become more familiar with Greek names from ISOC. And Avri Doria, researcher and a very active member of our civil society community. So thank you all for being here. So with no much further ado, and considering the constraints that Anne has, I will ask each panelist to speak for typically five minutes on any of these topics, any other that they feel is crucially important for internet governance. And of course, as usual in our ICANN meetings, the end goal is to have a real discussion. So expect to have an opportunity to queue up at the microphone, ask questions, follow-up questions, provocative questions to our panelists. So let me first turn to Anne Bouvreau.
Thank you very much, Bruno, and I very much appreciate the opportunity to address the group here. You will then have an expert in Dominique to answer any questions. I'm sorry that I have to catch a Eurostar after this. I'm here to represent the mobile industry and the mobile part of the internet. And as we know, the future of mobile is the internet. Now more and more we're using our mobile devices for internet access, but also the future of the internet is mobile as new users are coming from developing markets where the usage is done through mobile phones. In terms of mobile today, this is the furthest reaching communications platform in the world. We often hear the number of 7 billion or 7.1 billion mobile connections. So sometimes we think everybody has access to a mobile, but really those are SIM cards. And I think most of you in this room have at least two mobile-enabled devices, maybe three. And in developing markets, people tend to have two SIM cards and they'll swap between devices and service providers. So on average, people have two connections, and we have 3.6 billion people, 3.6 billion, slightly less than half of the world's population, who have access to mobile today. That is huge. That's the furthest reaching communications platform. But at the same time, it's less than half the world's population. So there's still lots to be done to connect more people to mobile and to the mobile internet, because that is really what we're talking about today with smartphones that today already are around $50 a piece and hopefully will go even further down in affordability. Mobile internet, mobile broadband is growing significantly. Mobile operators are planning to invest $1.7 trillion by 2020 in developing mobile broadband networks and connections around the world. And we believe this is key, of course, for us as users, but also because the mobile internet is the platform sustaining a number of industries and services like mobile health, like mobile payment and financial inclusion, connected cars, and everything. Because of this, because the future of mobile and internet are intrinsically linked, and we think more and more of the mobile internet, ecosystem collaboration is key. Which is why meetings like the ones today and any type of collaboration is absolutely key, and we strongly support engaging in ecosystem collaboration. And mobile operators are keen to be part of discussions on internet governance. We're also strongly supportive of the process to transition to a globalization of internet functions. We need to make sure this is done in a safe, secure, and reliable way, but we're strongly supportive of this principle. We also believe in an open internet that is safe, secure, stable, that we can trust, and that is interoperable. Interoperability is the key and the root of the success of the development of mobile. Through a single standard, we are able to get devices to be affordable for people. We need to continue with something that is as standardized and as interoperable as possible for everybody to be able to benefit. Finally, the multi-stakeholder model, we believe, is a great model. We support the multi-stakeholder model. We are also believers that different issues need to be handled differently. Some issues are relevant at local, national, regional, or global levels. And also, there are some very strong policy issues where if you talk about cybercrime or privacy or intellectual property rights, we believe governments have responsibilities and very valid roles that they need to be able to hold. We believe, on the other hand, that for technical issues, international standards bodies are the best place for that. And we also believe there's a strong role for commercial negotiations and discussions between various players in the industry. So we strongly support the work that ICANN is doing in discussing addressing these issues in a very transparent way and in a very inclusive way, and we look forward to participating to the discussions. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Anne. Thank you for also reminding us that for all the faith and admiration we have for the Internet in an ICANN meeting, it is useful to remember that for the majority of mankind so far, the big revolution has been mobile rather than the Internet. This is converging. As you said, the futures will be shared. But at this particular point in time, we're still very much in this world where the majority of mankind has yet to be affected by full connectivity to the Internet, and mobile is a step ahead. So thank you for that. Thank you also for reminding us that standard-making body may have a few things to tell us about their own experience on keeping governments at arm's length and also working closely with them. So let me turn now to Ambassador Fonseca. We heard of the other Mundial. We'd like to hear from you in light of what happened at Net Mundial, what happened after that, what we heard this week already. I think we heard Mr. Lu Wei's speech endorsing the outcome of Net Mundial. What is your assessment at this point in time?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning to everyone. Well, I'll try to be very brief because there's so much to tell about Net Mundial, but I'll try to be short because I'd also like to listen to others and to interact. Well, first of all, I'd say on a personal basis that I'm very proud to have contributed to Net Mundial because it was a very, I would say, valid experiment in working in a multi-stakeholder fashion, aiming at achieving tangible results. This is, I think, in itself the process that led to Net Mundial is very useful experience, one that could serve us in the future. The second point I'd like to make is to be very clear about the fact that Net Mundial was not a meeting organized by Brazil only, and not also by ICANN. It's not a Brazilian meeting, it's not an ICANN meeting. It was a meeting organized by the full global community. In Brazil, of course, our participation was organized by the Brazilian Steering Committee, which is the multi-stakeholder body that discusses internet issues in Brazil, and this ensured us on our side from the start that it would be truly multi-stakeholder and encompass views from all sectors. And we were very glad that on the international side, OneNet, which was this umbrella organization that was encapsulating all the different stakeholders. And this is very important because from the beginning, it was decided that Net Mundial would retain that multi-stakeholder dimension in all the preparatory stage and in its and in the 2 days meeting in São Paulo, and that was, I think, successfully achieved. The various bodies that were set to assist in the preparation of Net Mundial had this multi-stakeholder dimension. Most of representatives coming from non-governmental sectors, all of them were selected by their own constituencies, which in itself was a challenge for constituencies to appoint members, but it was something that was fully embracing the multi-stakeholder and the self-election way of appointing people. I think that was a key to the success of Net Mundial. I think we have a lot to celebrate about the outcomes. We were, in my opinion, successful in that format in which we came to a document which was discussed line by line, word by word, by all those stakeholders, and I was very glad to be part of this exercise. I can ensure that there was no text coming from anywhere that appeared in the text. That was thoroughly studied and discussed by all those that were in the executive committee, coming from government, from civil society, private sector. As a diplomat, I found that was a very interesting setting for discussing those issues, but in the end, we came out with proposals in regard to principles that should guide all internet governance, that was the proposal, inform all internet governance-related processes, and also proposal for specific interventions, specific actions to take place in the various areas, particularly in regard to ICANN, in regard to IGF. So I think there's a lot to celebrate. At the same time, I would say that we, and being a diplomat, I take also a sober look at what we achieved, because it was clear that not all areas encompassed by internet governance were touched upon by NetMundial. It was clearly specified in its text that those issues related to international public policies were not touched upon. And this is, of course, a very important part as we take a wider look at, a more comprehensive look at internet governance, extending beyond operational working, day-to-day operations. So there, as was mentioned by my predecessor, some very important issues. So NetMundial did not touch on this, made a call for this issue to be taken up on a priority basis. But that was, in regard, for example, to security and cybercrime, there is a specific recommendation that international cooperation should be further developed in that regard. So it was clear that NetMundial was not aimed to solve all the issues encompassed by internet governance as such. And also it indicated that some issues that were discussed could not achieve consensus, so there was a call also for further work to be done in that regard. So I think that should also lead us to take as we celebrate the outcome, but also take a sober look, because it is not, let's say, a final solution for everything. The follow-up to NetMundial, in our opinion, I think the logical way to follow up on one of the ways to follow up NetMundial, of course, there will be other ways, is to pursue its recommendation in regard to the specific processes that were identified. In regard to ICANN, for example, what will be done in this meeting in a way follows up to what NetMundial recommended in regard that this transition process should extend beyond the ICANN community, should there is one or two paragraphs in that regard. So as we are here, discussing this issue, we are following up on NetMundial. In regard to IGF, the strengthening of IGF as we move to Istanbul and we discuss, we will be also, in a way, following up on NetMundial. In my opinion, as well, this exercise that is to be initiated here with the formal establishment, maybe not here, because I understand there is a deadline for the members of this coordinating group to be appointed, but as the coordinating group will be established and started work, I think this will be maybe the most important development in recent years, because in my opinion this will be, that might be wishfully an exercise of confidence building for all of us. And speaking particularly on the side of governments, I think it would be very important for governments to participate in this coordinating group in a way that they will feel comfortable working in a multi-stakeholder format towards a shared goal. We think this might be indeed a very important confidence-building exercise. So it is very important that this coordinate will be set up in a way that is takes care of that is inclusive, that is open, transparent. We are very glad to see that is the direction we are aiming at, and we encourage that this will be followed all through the process. This will be certainly one of the most important developments in the next few months. So I'll stop here and be available later on for any further clarification. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ambassador. The NetMundial was the step that was expected in terms of showing that the process could work. There was a big risk-taking exercise, and I think everybody in this room will certainly agree that we should be extremely grateful to the government and authorities of Brazil for taking that risk, and especially to the president, Dilma Rousseff. And thank you for insisting on the fact that not everything was solved at Netmundial. It was not expected to be so, but the process of confidence building and making everybody comfortable with a set of identified issues, not prejudging of how they will be addressed or less solved, is a critically important step at this stage. So thank you very much, Ambassador. Let me now turn to Fiona Alexander. On any of these topic, Netmundial and TIA transition, is there anything which is close to your heart?
Well, there are lots of things that are close to my heart, I guess, sadly. So I guess we've had many conversations at ICANN about internet governance over the years, and I feel like there's a large number of people in the audience that probably could add more value to me to this panel than I am in many cases. So I would expect to have some great questions as we go forward in this session. But I guess maybe the one key thing, the point to make to everyone in the room that's participating in this and that's following this, is the importance of this particular year. And I know there's been a lot of important years in the threads of ICANN over the last 15 years and the internet governance discussion globally. But I think this year in particular, we've had some key milestones of success of multi-stakeholder, starting with the great success of Netmundial and what it did mean. And for those of you that weren't there, it was a truly fascinating experience to sit and watch a version of ICANN-style coordination actually be broadened out to other stakeholders, where there were four microphone lines, and each stakeholder group got up and stood up in line. And if you weren't there, the government line was always the longest in terms of people wanting to provide input. So it was a particularly interesting experience to watch and participate in, and a lot of credit goes to our Brazilian colleagues for putting this together. But it really does sort of demonstrate what you all have been participating in ICANN have known for a while, the benefit and the approach and the success of this model, and more people in the world accepting it and participating it and being a part of it. And I think that was a huge takeaway, at least from my perspective, from the meeting in Brazil. From NTIA's perspective, you know, one of the things we thought and one of the best commitments that we thought we could demonstrate to this model was to actually take the step we took in March with the announcement of our intent to transition and actually turn it over to the multi-stakeholder community, obviously with some parameters, you know, in terms of what we're willing to accept, but really let the multi-stakeholder community work through the process. So, again, another key milestone, I think, in the process for this year. And then the next one that's coming up is the Internet Governance Forum. And while we're going into the 8th or 9th Internet Governance Forum this year, I think there's a renewed vigor and a renewed momentum and some key takeaways from Netmundial that are going to be coming to the IGF and in terms of how to take things forward. As the ambassador said, Netmundial identified a couple of key issues that really needed to have some further debate and discussion, and they're clearly on the IGF agenda, and we're really taking this forward, and we're going to have some sessions on key topics like net neutrality and others. So again, a good trend line, a good thread. But for those of you that are in the room and participate in ICANN, the problem is this is a surprise to you. Maybe it should be a surprise that more people are participating, which will be an interesting experience, maybe one of the reasons why the ICANN meeting is so popular, this particular session. But I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much, Fiona. So clearly an exceptional year, 2014, year of the horse. Clearly we should expect more when these processes converge further. Work of a multi-stakeholder nature will guide us. And the IGF meeting in Istanbul would be one of the milestones along this process. I'm sure we'll come back to this singularity of this year and how these various threads are going to intertwine as we get into the discussion. Let me now turn to Olivier Crépin-Leblond, the view from ALAC.
Thank you very much, Bruno. And I guess I'll have to wear the two hats and interchange in the middle of my description of what we're doing. First, as far as at-large is concerned, we've had the at-large summit taking place during the whole week and starting on Saturday. And one of the first topics that we actually touched on was Net Mundial. There was a vivid, a very strong discussion that took place with regards to the follow-up. What do we do next? There was support, overall support in our community for Net Mundial, for the process, for its findings. Some did find that it didn't go far enough, but I guess this really is an ongoing thing. Net Mundial was really a starting point, and I think many understand that there needs to be more, and work has to continue. So it might be, we're still working on it at the moment, but it looks as though there might be a statement of the at-large summit that will be supporting Net Mundial and supporting and perhaps even making some suggestions as to where to go next. On the cross-community working group on internet governance side of things, the working group has got a charter that it's working on and that it has sent to the chairs of the ICANN supporting organizations and advisory committees. Before that, it did some work into making a submission to Net Mundial, and some members of the cross-community working group went to Brazil in an individual capacity and participated in the discussions that took place. Overall, we haven't had much chance to see what we do next. Of course, the field of internet governance is so huge. There will be a meeting that will take place after this meeting, actually, and we will be putting together our own roadmap so as to be able to see where we go with regards to Net Mundial, with regards to all of the broad issues of internet governance. It's important to note that the end user community as a whole is involved in all of these processes, not only with Net Mundial, but of course the IGFs, the local IGFs, and also other fora that are not IGF and not local IGFs, such as, for example, some of the WESIS and all its follow-ups and so on, in various capacities as well, since we're all internet users and some of us wear several hats. I'll leave it at that. I see there are a lot of people in the room, and perhaps they will want to express themselves. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Olivier, and thank you for confirming that indeed this multi-stakeholder work is taking place. And thank you also for flagging the fact that, because we're talking about the largest communities of all, the users, the fact that we meet here in London today, there was a meeting in Brazil, there will be a meeting in Turkey, should not lead us to forget that all the things need to happen at the local level, regional, sub-regional, etc., especially for the users' communities. So indeed, we should expect a lot to actually percolate up from this work. So thank you very much. Next on my list is Avery. You knew you'd be coming up at some point.
Yeah, I knew it'd be coming up at some point, but I had no idea when. Okay, thank you. So in thinking about Net Mundial, in thinking about it was an achievement. I think it was actually a rather grand achievement in that a group finally showed that a multi-stakeholder, and yes, ICANN calls itself multi-stakeholder and is, but a international group like that could actually come to an outcome. Because in the IGF, we had heard frequently that, oh, no. We couldn't possibly come to an outcome in these things because people would negotiate, and we would get into that wordsmithing, suffering over bracketed text that one often sees at the ITU, and that we therefore and Net Mundial showed that we could get beyond that. It was wonderful in that we saw everybody speaking together as equals, or rather on an equal footing, and that was a wonderful thing. There, it was also grand in terms of its transparency. Part of the transparency, though, gave us an opportunity to see that even at Net Mundial, with all of its success and all of its achievement, at the end of the day, there were indeed some players who were more equal than others, and various wording fixes happened at the last minute because various governments and others could not accept various language. So even as perfect as Net Mundial was, it does show that we have a ways to go in terms of truly developing a multi-stakeholder process on an equal footing that stays on an equal footing to the very end of the process. But that doesn't take away from its achievement. It just points to the fact that we still have a little bit of ways to go in terms of getting to the point where we all do participate on an equal footing in a meeting from beginning to end. So one of the things that I'm worried about already with Netmundial, though, is that we're already beginning to lose that momentum. We're already beginning to question, well, how did they come up with an outcome? Could we come up with an outcome too? What is it? Well, we can't do exactly what they did. So since we can't do what they did, can we do anything? So part of that, and that sort of leads to the IGF. The IGF, stepping back a second, which was sort of first thought of by the Working Group on Internet Governance as an alternative to oversight in Internet governance, as a forum where we could all talk, we could all sort of speak with each other and then make recommendations to others and to other entities, to other fora on how to improve their processes. It continues to sort of still be in a startup mode. It took one or two people in the MAG to really force the issue of let's try and look at how we can get outcomes. When outcomes were first presented to some of the leadership in the IGF, what we heard was maybe in 15, maybe in 16. So it's good to see that the multi-stakeholder advisory group, the MAG, did actually push and say, well, let's see if we can come up with at least something that looks like an outcome this year. And I'm hoping that they do achieve it. One of the problems that the IGF still has in terms of being a full multi-stakeholder outcome-oriented organization is that it's constantly on a short tether with the UN 5 years at a time. That means it gets to sort of spend 2 years worrying about its renewal. It gets renewed. It spends 1 year celebrating its renewal and spends about 2 years doing work. So, hopefully they will manage to get by that in this particular time. It's also still kept on a very lean, short leash in terms of having a secretariat. Everyone knows that it's a secretariat that sort of keeps the work going, that helps the members constantly work to churn out, to write down the things that are said, and to move the work forward. And until the IGF achieves a proper secretariat, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on the few people that work really hard to keep it running with pennies, it will be. And I understand that ISOC is helping in that, and that's a wonderful thing. But that's part of it. That the IGF has to go back to being seen as the alternative to oversight. We've gotten back to the point of saying, how can there be a global oversight? We look at what the ITU is talking about this year, and they're talking still about the need for some greater oversight. And it's something that we're constantly defending against. The IGF is supposed to be able to fill that gap in some way, yet it hasn't been allowed to get there. In terms of the last thing, the transition, I think it's really good that it's starting, but I don't quite understand why we're having so much trouble getting started. It's already been a couple months since the call from NTIA, and we're still sort of, spinning our wheels trying to figure out how to do it. And I guess the last point I want to make on that is it's not only the function of the NTIA that we need to replace, though that is specifically, it's responsibility. It's that both intrinsic and extrinsic of that knowledge that it was the last check, that knowledge that at the last minute on accountability, they were there. And that's something. So the whole tie-in of accountability with any transition is something that ICANN and all of us really have to take seriously going forward. So that's what I'd like to start with.
Thank you, Avery, and that's indeed a very rich way to start our discussion. I think because it not only intersects with many of the points that were mentioned, follow-up to Net Mondial and TIA transition, but also because you reminded us of the time element, that indeed we have different bodies. The MAG is one of them, IGF, and they all have their own time cycles. They have their own way of getting elected, getting in place, celebrating all these elements. And this is something that will require specific engineering in terms of making the best, hopefully generating some resonance between these various frequencies. You also mentioned the support received from ISOC in the work of the group, the MAG. So that gives me an ideal segue to turn to Konstantinos Komaitis, this way I got it right, and ask what is the view from the Internet Society.
Thank you, and hello everybody, I'm very glad to be here. So I think that one of the critical things that we need to understand is that all these things that are happening, Net Mundial, the NTI transition, the IGF, and all the other discussions on internet governance that are happening at a local and regional level are part of a story. And that story did not start this year. That story started many, many years ago, and that story continues to evolve. And we really need to start tying its pieces together, because it's a rich story and it can provide us with a lot of material and a lot of lessons. So I don't think that we need to start looking at these initiatives in isolation. They're all tied to the multi-stakeholder model, and the multi-stakeholder model is now tied to the internet and its growth and its evolution and what it stands for. If I were to focus on Net Mundial, I think that one of the great things that Net Mundial did was that it really re-energized a lot of people, and it created a buzz, it created a party celebration of the multi-stakeholder model. It also demonstrated the ability, not only the ability of stakeholders to actually cooperate, but also it affirmed that through these cooperations, great things can happen and a lot of things can be achieved. The time frame for Net Mundial was really tight, but all people worked together towards a common goal, and they've managed to come up with some tangible outcomes that the community has adopted, other people are thinking about it, but it has created, has stimulated intellectually a lot of people to actually start thinking how we can use this experience in moving forward. So Avery talked about responsibility, and I think that we need to look at the responsibility of stakeholders in a much larger context, and to look at responsibility through the great opportunity that we have right now. We are presented with a great opportunity to forge agreements, to develop norms and mechanisms that will actually allow us to come up with creative and innovative ways of addressing some of the very crucial issues that are before us and are challenging, in order to ensure that everybody eventually gets connected and gets the benefits of the internet. Another thing that I think that all these processes and initiatives demonstrate is that there's not a one-size-fits-all model for multi-stakeholder participation, and that multi-stakeholderism as a governance arrangement is not and should not be seen as an end in and of itself. It is a process, it is an evolving process, it is a challenging process, and it is a learning curve. Which leads me basically to the IGF, which for many, many years has been considered as the hub of multi-stakeholder participation. It will continue to be the place where people gather to discuss, to bounce off ideas, to brainstorm. And I think that one of the things that everybody started realizing over the past few years and Net Mundial affirmed was the need to strengthen it. And Avery said it, the Internet Society has committed to assist all stakeholders strengthening the IGF. and to assist the community in continuing to work hard and to come up with mechanisms and ways that will achieve that. It is, again, it's only the beginning. We have to be patient, but at the same time, we really have the entire community needs to support and needs to be behind all these people who are doing all that work in order to find the way in Istanbul to create the same energy, to replicate the energy, to replicate the buzz that Net Mundial has created. And I'll stop here. Thanks.
Thank you, Konstantinos. Clearly, the word innovative is absolutely key here. I think this is something that was recognized at Net Mundial and has been reiterated. We don't know what the solution will be, what the outcome will be, but we know that we will have to be innovative in our ways to define them, to frame them, to address them, and hopefully to solve them. The reference you made also to the multi-stakeholder environment as not being an end in itself, but a tool to an end, is critically important. What we've seen at Net Mundial and since then, we had seen before, is that there is a maturing of the multi-stakeholder approach, which recognizes also that bottom-up is not an end in itself, that at some point the combination of bottom-up and top-down is what would lead us to innovative innovative solution. But I don't want to extrapolate too much from what you just told us. Let me now turn to my left and hear from the another part of the world. We have Pablo Hinojosa from APNIC.
Hi. I work for one of the more technical organizations in the ecosystem. It is APNIC, the regional internet registry for Asia-Pacific. We provide IPv4 and IPv6 addresses in this region, which actually is also one of the most culturally diverse and with a big portion of the world's population and the highest growth. So our community is mostly made by the people that are behind the addressing, configuration, architecture, and setting up of networks, people that make things work. And obviously, these are people that have created the technological innovation that has changed how societies function. And that is where things start to get complicated, because when these societal, economic, political impact sort of confront us, that's when governments start to pay attention, and that is where issues start to get complicated. However, we still seem to be very far from the technical realities and operations of the network. Like this discussion somehow is quite on a distance from that, and it is difficult to build the engagement or the connections that Anne was talking about, the collaboration, the understanding between sort of the government thinking and the technical community. So I want just to throw this at the beginning. I have more things to say, but it seems to me, if I can throw an image, and please allow some flexibility on this, that we're still living the World Summit on the Information Society. We just haven't reached the summit in the sense that, I mean, for example, from my community, there is a lot of rigor and need to measure how measure the outcomes of these meetings, how to standardize sort of behaviors. And I think we are still sort of working on that, on building the information society and finding excellence in multi-stakeholderism and trying to test how this works. And I think that was part of the meaning of all these iterations happening after the WISIS, Net Mundial, IGF, and the process that Fiona was telling, 2014, very important ones. We'll start from there.
Thank you very much, Pablo. And indeed, this reference of you know, seen from the more technical part of the spectrum, you say, okay, when the economics and politics get into it, this is where it gets complicated. I've often heard the other way around, that is, for diplomats, not pointing at anybody, from our policymakers, you get them into you know, a certain number of issues you might consider as very non-technical and say, this is where it gets complicated. So we have to combine these complexities, and that's what makes ICANN so beautiful. Let me turn to Michele Nyland, the CEO and founder of Black Knight. So immediately after Michele used his 5 minutes, we want to get to the interactive part of this session. So we now have Dominik Lazanski, who joined us where we had Anne Bouvreau before. So welcome to as a member of this panel, Dominik. And of course, you start, feel free to line up behind your favorite microphone. We have only one, not four, but that should serve us well. So again, let me turn to Michele and let's start the interactive part immediately after that.
Okay, thank you. Michele Nyland, for those of you who don't know me, I'm a registrar. We're also a hosting provider within the ICANN circus. I happen to be the chair of the registrar stakeholder group. The one thing I say is purely mine and is not a reflection of anything the registrar's stakeholder group might take a position on, so that they don't murder me later. I'm also involved in a variety of other things, like the Internet Infrastructure Coalition. I dabble around in the APWG. I also obsess some CCTLDs. Yes, internet governance for me is one of those things that is kind of a necessary evil. I'm not a politician. I'm not a full-time policy person. I'm just a small business owner trying to sell a few domain names, sell a bit of hosting, and make a bit of money. I hope you don't begrudge me that. And, you know, the internet, I end up being called to speak on a lot of these panels around internet governance and the future, and there's lots and lots of wonderful acronyms that some of you understand and some of you don't understand, and we keep on inventing new ones. And I suppose the thing from my perspective is, you know, what's this all about? I mean, why on earth do I care? Why on earth do any of us care? Several of the people on this panel and several people in this room, you do this on a full-time basis. You do this for governments, you do this for big organizations, you do this in academia. For those of us at the other end of the scale, all we really want is just to be able to get on with doing things. And how do we get on with doing that? By having a free and open internet. That's the kind of stuff that we're fully behind. I mean, we may all disagree on a variety of things, and you know, ICANN is one of the fora where we can disagree, preferably without drawing any blood, though sometimes the temptation to draw blood is probably quite strong. And you know, the governments are taking a more of an interest in what's going on in this space. I mean, the first speaker on this panel was talking about the importance of mobile, the number of users that are using mobile, the number of users that are using mobile to get on the internet. I mean, we look at this in some of the statistics that we see whenever we send out a newsletter. I mean, years ago, everybody was using a desktop computer, possibly a laptop. Now when we look at the statistics, we're seeing 30, 40, 50% of email opens, it's on an iPhone and on an Android device, on some other kind of handheld device. I was talking to some of the technical staff from ICANN last night about, you know, all the infrastructure here at this meeting. And apparently the hotel owner, or the hotel manager rather, was very surprised that people were using iPhones. It's like, oh my God, we weren't expecting that. And the reality is that that's what we're seeing. You know, hands up in who in the audience doesn't have a smart device, who doesn't have an iPad or an Android tablet or some other method of getting online and consuming content. But how can we? But the question, I suppose, within this context is, you know, can we continue to consume content freely? How do we strike the balance between providing a safer environment? You know, are governments getting the balance right? I mean, I I normally skip the opening ceremony of ICANN meetings. I'll freely admit to that. This week I went along because I was kind of curious, you know, to see what was going to be said. And there was a minister from the British government, and I'll get his name wrong, but I'll try to get it right. Ed Vasey? Vasey, is that correct? Thank you. Ed Vasey, thank you. And he gave a speech at the opening, and it wasn't one of those vacuous, buzzword-filled speeches that we've so often heard in the past. It's like, ICANN comes into town, we'll truck out a local dignitary, and they'll use a bunch of buzzwords. This was an actual, somebody who really gave a damn about that interaction between government, private enterprise, civil society, academia, that entire kind of mishmash, that cocktail that we have here. And I was looking for the transcript, unfortunately it's not online, but there was a lovely bit that he said where, you know, you don't want me governing this. I can't remember the exact wording, and I wish I had the transcript. And that, to me, really struck home. I was standing at the back of the room, and I thought, wow, this is great. And I'll tell you the reason why I'm here a lot of the time is because my government doesn't seem to give a damn, which kind of upsets me. But, you know, that's the thing, is that we're trying to get that balance right. And I see people around the room, like the gentleman up the front there from Lynx. Oh, yes, we went to live with you guys yesterday, by the way. Thanks. You know, the fact that Lynx, that provides pure network stuff, has somebody who spends half his working day interacting around policy is very telling. They shouldn't have to do it. But, you know, that's the thing, is this kind of, how do we get that balance? And I don't have the answers. I don't particularly want to have the answers. But I think it's fascinating and it's fun, but it's also a challenge and it scares me. Thanks.
Thank you, Michele. And clearly, this is something we've seen. That is, you mentioned what we heard from the host country at the beginning of this meeting. I think it's fair to say that we are hearing more and more people able to speak across communities, whether they come from government, from business, from academia, from civil society. Clearly, the listening part has been taking place at some point. The debate is much richer because of that than it was a few years ago. This is something that it's a vibration we all felt. I also took note of your disclaimer saying these are my personal opinion, not speaking on behalf of registrars, which reminds me that I forgot my own disclaimer, which I'm here as a member of the board of ICANN, and I cannot speak on behalf of ICANN. So if you have any question about ICANN, I'd be very happy to direct them to Tarek Kamel and Nigel Hickson sitting on the first row. We've heard, okay, from this panel, very diverse views. At the same time, giving us an idea of the degree of convergence that has started to appear, that Net Mundial confirmed, and that we hope to see maturing again as we go towards IGF and we move along the NTIA transition. Avery reminded us that Fiona characterized as a singular year. There's something very special about this year. We can see our wheels spinning. I felt some degree of impatience there. Is anybody on the panel of the same opinion as Avery? We are losing time somehow. It could be we could be moving better, or is it the other way around? Please.
And I will use Pablo. Michele's sort of questions. How do we get that balance between sort of the day-to-day operations between the technical inner workings with decisions made at the government level that also affect back the way this can grow and this can take different directions. So we departed probably from technical people that told governments, hey, leave us alone, we're just working here, from a realization that we need to work together and we need to try to understand each other better. But for this to happen, we need to be meaningful between sort of the technical and the policy languages, but also in all languages that affect different cultures in the world. And this is particularly evident in Asia Pacific. It doesn't only translate technical policy, but also you have to translate into all other languages. And I think this is the key challenge to work in a very small time frame, as Fiona was saying. We have this big challenge, and Net Mundial was a beautiful sort of installation of trying to get to an outcome, trying to put these worlds together and produce some sort of agreement in as many languages as possible. But still, we don't have a common yardstick. Some will say, like, no, this doesn't pass the excellence of multi-stakeholder. And some say, well, but look at what was accomplished in the time that was made and how that happened. So how to get that balance? I think you put the right question.
Thank you. Clearly, combining various languages is part of what we're trying to do. And recognizing that, indeed, even if we all try to speak specific languages, we are using a lot of English here, for instance, we still speak the language from our own background, communities, etc. Much has been said about the importance of coding in the internet world and how to get kids to code before, but we have a big effort to make in decoding right now and making sure we understand what the other parties mean. Ambassador Fonseca, you wanted to add on this same item.
Yes, also very briefly and concurring with what was said before, one of the lessons we have learned from organizing Net Mundial is the importance to put in place mechanisms that will be seen as leading to outcome that will be seen as legitimate by all those that participate. So it took us, I think, 1.5, 2 months to put in place those mechanisms, but I think it was not a time that was wasted. I think though that was a time needed for the communities to organize themselves, to appoint members, to select those members that would be seen as their legitimate representative that could lead to a legitimate outcome. So I would probably not be too much concerned about spending some time in organizing the process, because I think this is key to the kind of outcome that to the perception of the outcome that will emerge from it. For example, in regard to this coordinating group, it is important that those that will be there, this is a problem we face because we had this high-level committee, the executive committee, and the proposal was for those bodies to help organize the inputs that were coming because we said those are not aimed to themselves to write the documents, but rather to organize and to give some uniformity. But even though it was very important, we realized that those people that were sitting there would be seen as legitimate representatives. In some cases, for example, this is not something unknown. In the case of the government representatives, the Brazilian government took upon itself to select, trying to, on the basis of consultations, trying to achieve some balance among the regions. But there were some questioning on what were the criteria. So to the extent, the maximum extent that the communities themselves can select members, I think this will be very important for the outcome itself. And again, this was one lesson we learned, and we think it's not a time wasted to put in place, to design a process that will lead us to an outcome that will be to the least extension possible challenged by any participant. Thank you.
Thank you, Ambassador. So clearly the outcome is what guides us. We want to maximize that. And if time is needed to build and recognize legitimacy and bring everybody to their respective comfort zone, it is time well invested to maximize the outcome. Going back to the time issue, I'd like now to turn to Fiona. So we have this announcement made earlier this year saying September 2015, AINA transition. We've started to hear this week that maybe some of the communities will need more time to get their act together. How should we regard this September 2015? Is it a milestone? Is it a deadline? Is it an objective? How flexible should we be about it?
Sure. So maybe before answering that directly, and I will in a second, I think it's important to keep in mind something that Constantine said, which is multi-stakeholder is not the goal. It's the model, it's the approach, and the goal is the free and open internet. And this is what pulls Michele and others into the process, because we're doing this not because we want to be multi-stakeholder. We're doing it because we want the internet to develop. We want to have economic growth. We want social development. And this is the tool that you get to that. And the multi-stakeholder model has these elements of that. It's open, it's participatory, and decisions are made by consensus. And building consensus takes time. And that can be frustrating for people that participate in the process, and that can feel like wheels are spinning sometimes. But as the ambassador said, it's an important process to get right. And, you know, I think in terms of the IANA transition, September 30th of next year is when the current term of the contract expires. It's a milestone in the contract. You know, there's not a problem with us. We have two-year options to extend. And I think the community taking the time to get the process right, being comfortable with the coordination committee, getting the right people on the process, each stakeholder group or customer of the IANA services taking the time to figure out how they want to provide input into the process, and really figuring out this broader accountability work stream is important. So, you know, I know it can seem frustrating if things take a little bit longer. And I think in the ICANN process, you have this butting of heads of sometimes of the need to get to consensus, but at the same time, the people that are in business doing business. And I think it's an inherent tension in the model, and probably a healthy one, but probably a frustrating one for many people here.
Thank you. So giving time to time, as we say in French, is important at critical time. And we should expect that, indeed, we're not going to have a homogeneous definition of time. There will be acceleration. There will be time to build. Avery, does that make you feel more comfortable about our spinning our wheels?
Oh, I'm very comfortable with spinning our wheels. You know, it doesn't make me uncomfortable at all. I don't know how long we'll do it for. It's sort of, as I watch the discussions that take place on various lists, every time something happens, we seem to go through the same set of discussions again. And it's not that I'm frustrated by it at all, but it's also that I recognize that in going through these discussions, those who wish to delay things have a perfectly receptive audience of people who love to discuss things to the bitter end. And so maybe I'm a little premature in the spinning wheels. You know, as soon as I see them start to slip, I start to call that the wheels are spinning. So I feel that in the last days I have seen the wheels start to slip. And therefore it's sort of I'm comfortable with it. But I would like to see them actually moving forward as opposed to spinning.
Thank you, Avery. And indeed, we should make sure in the process that with all the caveats that Ambassador Fonseca and that Fiona mentioned, that is, it's necessary to get it right. It's necessary to build the multi-stakeholder model in its true, respecting its true values and at the same time maximizing the outcome, we should ensure that we are not giving extra power to those who have an interest in delaying things. I think this is something that we can read differently depending from the point of view we have, but we should never forget that the biggest force in the universe is called inertia. And if we do nothing, inertia prevails. So I've heard some analysis saying that the biggest merit of Net Mundial was to come early with very little time for preparation. So something could be done. If we had had more time, maybe we would have been deeper into bracketed text and other elements. That's a point of view that may be addressed. I don't know, Olivier, if you have a point of view on that. I see you nodding.
Yes, thank you very much, Bruno. One of the things which one notices after a few years in internet governance is that the spinning of wheels seems to be what some might call in other circles a standard parliamentary procedure. There often is certainly a flurry of activity immediately after an announcement is made, and certainly when it comes to making committees and putting committees together, we seem to have 100 candidates for each seat, and it's been very difficult to actually select candidates, especially since we are all the different stakeholder groups and we have to find people with various qualities, including the one to actually relate back to our stakeholder groups. So that's one of the things. One concern I have is with regards to the pressure, the time pressure, because during the time in which one makes the selections for the committees, there are also some solutions which some stakeholders are trying to work out and which might be seen later on when time is really short to reach consensus as being fully cooked solutions that would be imposed on others. And I think we have to be quite careful about seeing those solutions and thinking, well, we only have a couple of months left. We're just going to have to take something off the shelf that might not actually satisfy everyone. So we need to keep that debate open, and we need to have solutions that are fully bottom-up and that come from all parties.
Thank you, Olivier. Let me piggyback on this and maybe turn to the whole panel, unless somebody wants to stand next to the microphone. And again, this is an invitation I'm reiterating. I know we have lots of experience, competence, and views in this room, so I'm sure the panel would like to hear those. But let me turn the question that Olivier just addressed, that is, what would be the most difficult, okay? What should we fear? And not wanting to give a negative spin to this discussion, but rather to avoid the wheel spinning for too long. From your respective point of views, what do you think would be the major possible hurdle, the one we have to be totally aware of, because it may derail the process? If you have to give it priority for the whole community from your respective point of view, what would that major main hurdle be? Anybody wants to pick the hurdle question? Olivier already gave us an indication, but please.
Well, it's a really thank you, Bruno. It's about picking hurdles. I think that each one might see a different hurdle, and I think we're all a bit concerned about the hurdles that we might see. So that the hurdle, as far as internet end users are concerned, is really that the end user element might be lost in the overall game, because I've already heard of the contract. There's several layers to this whole thing. It's a bit like a cake, and one when you peel one layer off, you've got another one, or should
maybe
I say an onion,
is
because
a better
you end
analogy.
Up crying. But no, there's a lot. There's really an enormous number of layers, and the complexity is really difficult for all of the parties to understand. So communication will have to be very important on all of the issues. With regards to the process and afterwards the solution, it clearly is a very complex thing, because we're looking here at a stewardship which provided some stability to a function. And now we're going to remove that facility, that stewardship as such, from the hands of the stabilizing factor. And now we're looking at a situation where we need to invent something in replacement. And inventing something is never easy.
That might be one difficulty, that is, how innovative can we afford to be, knowing that we would all come with our own background, baggage, possibly missions and agendas that cannot be ignored, and how to remain collectively innovative and outcome oriented in that context. The line is starting to shape, so let me turn to the mic. I will ask you to introduce yourself very briefly and tell us to whom your question is directed, if to anybody in particular.
Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Chris Tassett. I'm with ISOC Canada. And back home, I'm a lawyer, and I do a lot of governance work. This is my second ICANN, and it's a very interesting and eye-opening experience. I've been involved with Aaron for a while, but it's my first ICANN. The multi-stakeholder model is absolutely essential to the open internet. But given the number of constituencies that are represented and the complexity, I think there are a few things ICANN might be able to do that would help move things along. And I'm going to focus just on three. The first is, I think everybody who chairs a committee should have compulsory training on how to chair a committee. No, it's a very basic thing, but you know what? I've been in meetings in the last couple of days where chairs let two people go on for an hour arguing one point with 30 people in the room. That should just never happen. I know we have to be tolerant and allow expressions of points of view, but at some point, things have to move on. The second is, for every committee meeting, but the last 10 minutes should be a required time for people to indicate whether they've agreed on anything. What's the consensus, if any, that has been achieved? Maybe there isn't any, maybe it's not important. And even if it's a consensus that wasn't on the agenda, if something comes out, an idea, and there's consensus that forms around it, why not capture that and make sure that it gets recorded? Because consensus is hard to come by in such a complex organization. And my third observation is, I think we need to create more bilateral opportunities for different stakeholder groups to interact with each other. And the reason for that is a very basic human principle. People like and deal with people who they know. People don't empathize with strangers. And so I think we don't want to be strangers to each other. We want to become friends. Those are my observations. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So I noted already important keywords, so the training, the keeping on record what has been achieved at a certain point, especially if it leads to consensus, and the fact that meeting is not an end in itself, and we should indeed give ourselves the tools to go beyond our usual circles and maximize bilateral interfacing opportunities. It reminds me of, I think it was Mark Twain, but Fiona may tell me otherwise, who said something about, he said, my wife and I lived very happy for 30 years, and then we met. So, Ni, since nobody knows you, please introduce yourself.
Yes, my name is Ni Kweno. I'm very at large. Having been a member of MAG, UNICT Task Force, and so on, I offer the following observations. We are here discussing internet governance, which means that the internet may be more impacting innovation than mobile. Otherwise, we'd have been here discussing mobile governance. I think multi-stakeholder process or approach does not necessarily mean there is no outcome or there is an outcome. It's separate, said an approach. Okay. And within this community, we pride ourselves in being multi-stakeholder and providing outcomes. I think with respect to IGF, the objective was for the outcome to be what you take out, like at an exchange point. So you come there, you debate, and you see good things in people's suggestions, and you revise or reform yourself. That was the definition. So if you want an IGF that has oversight, then go define that at IGF. The current definition is for us to come and share expertise, experience, and learn from each other, and then reform ourselves, revise ourselves. And hence, that's the reason why it's workshop-based. If it was intended to be something else, presumably the right mechanisms would have been created for that purpose. My last observation is that at the beginning of a process, you don't begin to ask, can I have more time? Once you do that, that means you are accepting the status quo. I think as a teacher, I suggest that we try our very best to work towards the goal as fast as we can. And at that point, if it turns out that you are 70% the way, 90% the way, and you need a little more time to fine-tune things, everybody will appreciate it. But if you start now and say, I need more time, you've given up.
Thank you, Ni. Please.
Nuran Enipuno, Net Node. Well, first of all, I think one of the reasons Net Mondial, there are several reasons, but one of the reasons Net Mondial was so successful was because of its format, and also because it called for input to very specific questions before Net Mondial. So it meant that it focused the discussions at the actual meeting. In some ways, I actually think that the very short timeline helped the meeting as well, because it sort of forced everyone to get their act together and to respond to specific issues. If there'd been a longer timeline, we could have easily, I think, been stuck in discussing things for a much longer time. It also meant, of course, that those who couldn't participate in Net Mondial could contribute their input by submitting material, which I think was very valuable. But, of course, you could also say that the downside to that is that if you're not involved in that process, it's also a barrier to entry, and there are upsides and downsides to that. I think Michele said something about that. Some of you do this for a living, and most of us just want the internet to work, something like that. And I think there's a real challenge in finding that balance. I agree with Avery's comments about not losing momentum and not letting that there's a risk with our good intentions to be inclusive and open, that you let discussions get hijacked, because that's quite easily done in this process. And I served on the MAG for a few years, and we had so many discussions there about how we could not limit the amount of workshops at the IGF because that would not be inclusive. But, of course, that allows for a lot of noise in the discussion. So I think I would just like to point out the challenge of not losing momentum and actually building on what we have and moving forward. But we also don't want to risk creating this layer of internet governance experts who speak on behalf of the whole community and who are not connected with the rest of the community. And we need to find ways of actually allowing people in the rest of the community to come into the internet governance sphere. I think there's a risk of separating those two worlds. And I'd be interested in any reflections you have on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Reminds me of a definition I recently read of an expert. The expert is the person who can perfectly document and explain all the mistakes they've made so far.
Yes, this is Yongam Lee. I'm from .kr, but CCNSO Council, but I'm speaking in my own behalf. I'd first like to start with a very positive note. I think we're off to a great start. The coordination group with which is so inclusive and letting all these groups choose their own representatives, I think that's a very great start. And this is how we should start, because that the current group actually reflects what is going on currently, the current situation. As opposed to the IGF, when Avery said that it was so difficult for the IGF to come up with a result or a conclusion. I think ICANN can do that better, because it has a structure. It is very structured, and these groups that are structured are used to trying to come up with some kind of a result. However, I think we should also note that this current group only represents the current situation, the ISTAR groups, basically. Although there was a lot of talk about IGF, the importance of the IGF at Net Mondial, their members, the members of the IGF, are not, so far, included. And so Fadi said yesterday during the CCNSO Council and Board meeting that it is a very open group. And I think the group should start, but it should realize that it is just that, the coordination group, and that whoever else to include, what other groups to include, what other entities to include should still be very open. But yes, we do have a time frame, and I think that's a very important time frame. There is a goal, and because we have a goal, as the people before me mentioned, I don't think we can expect to be able to discuss as much as we can or try to come up with a perfect solution that satisfies everyone. I don't think that would be possible. When Net Mundial was being processed, a lot of people were dissatisfied with the process, during the process, but in the end, we were able to come up with a consensus document because of the force that was pushing it forward with a goal. And because we have the time frame and the goal, yes, we should be very open and try to include other entities as well, but we should not try to be perfect in every way. Thank you.
Thank you. So we have, three people behind the mic, so I'm going to close the queue now to stick to the timetable.
Good morning, Maarten Botterman, speaking as a committed individual. I very much agree with the speaker beforehand, also in particular with the aspect of including group, make it an open process. There's a lot of good things happening at the moment, and it's desperately needed, as we all know. It would be great to see better how other processes, like, for instance, the strategy panel, the independent strategy panel that has been reporting, how that continues, the knowledge that has been developed, the understanding that has been developed there, how this is taken on board. For instance, by having some of the people from that panel being here, I don't think any of them is at the table. The other thing is, for instance, also obviously the build group. And I'm not blaming anybody for them not being here. But wouldn't it be great if all these processes that we believe in to strive towards a future we want really gather together and seek to work together as well, rather than everybody saying the thing that they've been saying all the time and moving on in their own ways. Thank you.
Thank you. Please.
Garth Graham, Telecommunities Canada. A minute ago, Olivier said something about seeking the replacement, and I would like to make the case that the replacement is already there, but invisible. Last night at the ALAC drinking of wine and beer, Fadi Chahadi said, multi-stakeholder is the most fragile model. It depends on each in a balance of power. That's a feature, not a fault. It's the fragile unity that makes us one family. But I would point out that, in fact, distributed systems and ecosystems are not fragile at all. They are extremely resilient in terms of balancing themselves at the edge of chaos. And a few days before, in the context of accountability, Olivier said, you cannot have a rule if nobody is going to enforce that rule. Yes, you can. It depends on your definition of governance. And in the governance of self-organizing systems, the elements or rules are embedded in every element of the system or in every person who is in the social system, and it self-organizes, and that is extremely resilient. It is not, we do not live in a world that is broken up into business, government, and civil society any longer. The ultimate stakeholder, the ultimate beneficiary, to use the development term, is the individual. That's why the internet mirrors their sense of autonomy. They are already there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Victor Martinez. I work for the Mexican government, and I'm speaking in my personal view. Considering the scenario after outcomes of Net Mundial and NTIA announcement to open the transition process of the agenda functions, I believe it's quite important to continue work in best multi-stakeholder platform for the discussion in the internal governance issues, that is the IGF. It's necessary to improve this forum in order to continue the discussion in the best place where the technical technology and policy issues have an appropriate space in the agenda. In conclusion, my question for the panelists is how we can contribute to improve the IGF and guarantee a bottom-up process in the decisions, avoiding advantage of some stakeholders over the others. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. So since I'd closed the queue, I will ask the last two speakers to just give us very brief questions, please.
Yeah, this is more a Olaf Kolkman. This is more a logistical heads up. Tomorrow in the same room from 1:30, there will be a session on the transition of NTIA stewardship of the IANA function, which I think will be a little bit more practical, trying to you know, think about first steps.
Thank you. Bertrand.
Hi, I'm Bertrand Lachapelle. I just want to throw in the discussion a question that we will not solve here, but that is becoming more and more pregnant in my mind now, which is, what happens to the multi-stakeholder model when there is no consensus but a decision has to be made? It is a provocative question, but I do not have an answer. It is something that is becoming very important because in traditional international organizations, in traditional international decisions, there can be procedures. You can have agreement to find a higher principle to solve tensions. In the multi-stakeholder model, it is difficult to obtain consensus, and when there is an alignment of incentives, to take a word that has been often used, there is a desire to find the pragmatic solutions. But when there are real tensions and real possibilities to block, is there anything in the multi-stakeholder model that could allow to go beyond those tensions and resolve them? Or is it something that the multi-stakeholder model should not try to do, i.e., is there something that can be above the different interests of the parties when there is no consensus? And I don't have an answer. I just want to throw this because it's becoming pregnant.
Thank you, Bertrand. And I think the last two questions we just heard are a perfect summary of our discussion. That is, on one hand, we heard, nice discussion, guys, but we have to look at the practical things, and we're going to have a meeting looking precisely at one aspect. And then we have the other end of the spectrum, as Bertrand mentioned, you know, looking at the very bottom line of what consensus is and how it can be built in a multi-stakeholder environment. How do we make decisions in the absence of a consensus, and how can we move beyond? And I know that Bertrand is not having any hope that we're going to address this question today in a minute and a half, but it's certainly worth flagging it. So let me turn back to the panels to address any of the points that we've heard through these questions.
I really like the three suggestions that the professor from Canada used, and one of them was we need to use the last minutes to see what we agreed on. And let me throw these two things also in convergence with what Bertrand said. One is that Net Mundial, IGF, ICANN processes, the transition plan, etc. We seem to be arriving, or the trending topic is using the multi-stakeholder model to produce outcomes. I don't think we're yet ready to take decisions, but at least to produce outcomes, and that is sort of the lesson by Net Mundial. And we also seem to be moving out from process discussions and now more into the substance. We need to come up with a transition plan for the IANA oversight. We need to come up with ways to implement the Net Mundial roadmap. We need to produce ways to improve the IGF, as our Mexican said. So here are some very concrete outcomes that are requested to the community to be produced and we seem to agree that they will be produced on a multi-stakeholder fashion.
Yeah, I think maybe just to answer the question from the colleague from Mexico in terms of the IGF, the best way to help with the IGF is to get involved and participate, whether that's showing up and being on panels, volunteering to be on the MAG, or finding a way to contribute to the financial stability of the system. That's the best way. But I mean, I think maybe to just touch on what Bertrand was raising, and Bruno, the question you asked us earlier on, which is what do you see as the biggest hurdle to the system going forward? And I think what seems more and more apparent to me is that there's got to be an acceptance of those that participate in the multi-stakeholder model and an agreement that in this model, you don't always get exactly everything that you want all the time. And I think that's something that is sort of fundamental that people need to come into this and understand and accept.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also reacting to some of the things that were said, and I don't want to be misinterpreted in saying that we need to spend some time in organizing the process. That does not imply that we are, from the start, accepting that this deadline, this time frame is not adequate. On the contrary, we have September 2015 as the target date, and we think that indeed one of the factors that led to Net Mundial achieving outcome was the tight time frame we had. I think that led people to exert the maximum extent possible, the flexibility they could, in order to make sure that, of course, in regard to something that were red lines for some, there was some discussion, but to exert maximum flexibility, I think by that having this deadline September is something realistic, and we are more than willing to work in that regard. Yeah, as regard the transition period we are entering in, I can understand there are different approaches, different perspectives, depending on from where you look at from at the situation. From a diplomatic point of view, from a governmental point of view, and maybe being oversimplifying the situation, being oversimplistic, I would say it is, from our perspective, much more a contractual discussion, legal discussion. Of course, we are not ignoring the technical aspects, but it is more of a legal nature, how to replace the contractual relationship we have today with one that will be responsive to the global community. This is not something easy. I think there is no example in international relations on that a global multi-stakeholder community will get together and define a contract, and related to what Bertrand was saying, that will address decision-making, that will address accountability, that will address dispute settlement. When we are working in an intergovernmental format, it is we know what are the rules. But in a multi-stakeholder, this is something we'll have to, as we move forward, we'll have, as we did in Net Mundial, we'll have to be inventing and be innovative about this. And the challenge is to do this in a way that will be seen as a legitimate way of doing things by all stakeholders involved to the maximum extent possible. I fully agree with those that probably in the end, some will not be satisfied, some will dissociate from the outcome, but the effort is to bring everyone on board to the maximum extent possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ambassador. I would also like to turn back to the first question that was asked, saying at the end of each of our meetings, it will be important to register what has been achieved, to see whether these can be steps toward building this consensus. So I'm not going to escape this responsibility. I was going to use the traditional formula of moderators who said the debate was too rich for me to attempt to summarize it, and then they immediately get into trying to do it. So let me just, instead of a summary, highlight three of the things that struck me in this discussion today. I think in the background, it was very clear, and it was mentioned in different wordings by all of our participants, starting with Anne Bouvreau to start with. The internet is the biggest wealth creation machine that has been invented so far. Okay, and what we are discussing when we look at internet governance is two things. One is how can we keep this machine working? And the second is how can we make the wealth created distributed as fairly as possible? These are two major objectives and two massive objectives. And then, considering what has been said around this panel and what we heard from the questions from the floor, I'm tempted to summarize the elements under three headings, which I would call A, B, C. The A is for the aspiration. Okay? Once we have this element in the back of our mind, what is our aspiration? Our aspiration is to maximize the outcome. For that, we accept that the multi-stakeholder model is the one we want to use. It's not an end in itself, it's a tool to an end, but it's the best we have identified so far, and we want to give it all the chances of success. That may mean some wheel spinning, as Avery told us. We have to accept that. Building consensus can take time, but as Fiona told us, getting it right is critically important because it will condition the sustainability of the outcome. The steps taken are encouraging. As Nick Wehner mentioned, we should not ask for more time before we start. We should ask for more time if it's needed when we see that the possibility of success is near. But keeping the time pressure is also an important element in stimulating our own creativity, innovativeness to identify solutions. The B, so the A is for aspiration, the B is for business. What is the business we are in? What keeps us busy? And not in just the private enterprise definition of business. Our business is to make sure the internet keeps working and that it delivers. Okay, and we have heard all the keywords, open, resilient, etc. So we all know, transparent, we know all these. In that context, we have to combine two things, which are the moment and the momentum. This is a critical year. This is a critical time. The moment is now. We should not lose any of the momentum that has been gathered at Netmundial and in other places. IGF is a set of milestones in that process. Turkey is where we shall meet next around these issues. Let's not lose the momentum. And there are various ways of losing the momentum. One of them is to make people feel, those who are contributing genuinely, that they are not heard, that they are marginalized, they're not part of the process. So whatever can be done through our respective constituency to keep the enthusiasm, to keep the passion, to keep the energy is critically important for preserving the momentum. And the C is both for collective, creative, and concrete. What we heard around this table is not abstract ideas. It's about very difficult, complex issues that need to be addressed in a business-like, in a concrete, in a practical, pragmatic fashion. And I would add in an opportunistic fashion. We have to be ready to seize the opportunities. And what we've heard is that, of course, the time as our community is not homogeneous. There will be difficulties in building consensus, in just understanding what the other parties are, or decoding what the other parties are saying. But the steps taken and the success registered so far tell us that somewhere it's possible. It's a very high level of ambition, but it's a feasible, reasonable type of ambition. And last but not least, I would say that although this meeting is not over, for me, beyond the discussions we're having, I will leave ICANN 50 with a strong memory of the opening session. In that opening session, we heard a choir from Wales. Okay? And that choir, for me, was the perfect image of what we are trying to do at ICANN and in other places. We are constantly remembered that you don't need to sing in unison to sing in harmony. And clearly, if it's done with passion, if it's done with a sense of purpose, it can be beautiful. So thank you all in the room around this panel, and let's keep the momentum in the steps ahead of us. Thank you very much. Thank you.